and understand that our prayer is not a prayer without education. To make our prayers, we have to recite the Quran. And the Quran is a book of knowledge. Not only a book of faith, it's a book of knowledge. The Quran educates us. So if we recite the prayers, five daily prayers, we are being educated while we are reciting our prayers. That's why we say our prayers standing up. We pray standing up. We don't pray on the knees. Although we do make little small gestures bowing, but our prayer is said standing up. When we go down to our knees, we thanking Allah, we doing gestures of submission to thank Allah for what He gave us on our feet. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? Yes. There's a lot to be said there. I hope to meet you in the camp one day. We're going to talk some more. Now, our prayer is a discipline. We can't say what we want to say. We got to quote Quran. And our prayer disciplines our body also, the physical body. We can't move when we want to. We got to move when the discipline says move. We move down into ruku, bowing position. We come back up in standing position. We go down into sajda with our nose and forehead touching the floor, our palms down, just like a baby crawling on his hands and knees, and his head had become too heavy for him, so he rests his forehead on the floor with his nose touching too. Now, don't put your mouth down there. Just the forehead and the nose. That's the proper way. You know the Prophet stopped some people from praying because they were doing it improperly? That's how serious it is. Yes, it is a discipline. We have, for the morning prayer, two sections called rak'ahs, two sections. And normally a Muslim will pray because he feel, though it is not an obligation, a strong obligation, he obligates himself because he wants to do the sunnah of the Prophet. He prays really for, he do two prayer, two sections for obligatory, and he does two sections sunnah, which means after the practice of the Prophet, at least, that those four. And you count the number of times that you put your forehead and nose and hands and everything, the number of times that you are prostrate on the floor like a baby. And the two rak'ahs, you make four sajdas, are four prostrations like a baby on his hands and knees, right? Four. Yeah. That's a discipline. Now, when it comes to the noon prayer, you double that. You do four sections, and that double also the prostrations like the baby, eight, right? And Allah says eight holds up the throne. Well, don't we want the throne to be successful too? You see? We want the throne to be successful too. What is the throne? A throne means rule. Man wants to preserve the rule that he has. Whether it's over the town, the mayor, over the state, the governor, or over the nation, the president, or over his household, the daddy, and the mama, he wants to preserve the rule. So if you want to preserve the rule, then buddy, break that day, that busy, stop in the busy part of the day. You know? It's hard for people. In the beginning of the day, most people will, oh God, help me today. And at the end of the day, most people will say, oh God, lay me down to sleep in peace. Now I know that ain't exactly how they say it, you know. But we're busy during the day, working and having coffee break and lunch. You know. Most people will not interrupt that work day, that busy day, to remember God. So if you want to hold up the throne, interrupt that business. I don't care whether it's your retail business or your wholesale business or your political business or whatever it is. Interrupt that business and give God the respect and attention that He asks. Yes, sir. and then you'll hold up the throne. Yes, I believe that. Yeah, we're talking about success. Keys for success in business. But in order to be successful in business, I'm saying, you have to first be successful as a believer in God. Be a successful Muslim. That means being successful in business. Look how successful the Muslim world was in the early days of the Islamic society under Muhammad and the great companions of his, and those that followed too for a few centuries. Look how successful they were. They became the greatest society on this earth. This is history. The greatest society on this earth. They led other societies to come back to civilization. Even the West will admit that it owes its regeneration to Islam, to Muhammad, to the scientists that followed that revelation, the Quran, etc. This is history, we can't deny it. Arnold Toynbee, perhaps the most popular, most respected historian for the West, he pays great tribute to Islam in his report of history. So, what happened to them now? Society so successful for a few centuries, what happened to them? They lost what we are trying to get right now. They got busy. They got too busy with the world and lost Allah, and thereafter lost the world. So that's the proof. The proof exists that this obeying the commands of Allah in the Quran, following His Prophet, will bring success. The proof exists because we have people who came from backward life, idolatry, tribes similar to the American Indians, a bunch of independent tribes, no national unity. They came from a life like that, where they were not recognized by any civilized order, to become what they became, and that is the leaders of all the nations on earth during that time, in science and in every other respect. And fail. So the proof that it will give you success is that they got success. The proof that Allah is the key for that success, obedience to Him is the key for success, because when they stopped that obedience to Him, they lost it.
Yes,
sir. That's right. That's right. And Allah says, never did a society fall until they first neglected prayer.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. You see how important prayer is for us, brothers and sisters? And I don't see why you brothers don't like to pray. Aren't you men? No, I got a bit of roost in me. I get up like, Allahu Akbar! Man, that awakened a whole lot of male genes in me, man. I feel all kind of ancestral manhood coming in my bones when I do that. And let me tell you, you want to have a better relationship with that woman?
Come on, Richard.
Do some flopping like that rooster. Allahu Akbar! But mean it, because if you faking, man, the first person to know it is that woman. Disciplines for success. I want to go away from the prayer now. The prayer itself as a discipline is the key. It will condition us and strengthen us for carrying other disciplines, all of them. Now, there is a small surah, a chapter in the Quran that reads, it says, "Wal as." إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Concerning the hour, or concerning the time, they say down through the ages, surely humanity is lost, except for those who have faith. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and their deeds are righteous.
Amen.
And they practice good deeds. You see? وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. And they cooperate for the advancement of truth. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. And they cooperate for the patience. They cooperate for perseverance. They cooperate for perseverance or for constancy and patience. Now those are four conditions. They believe. They have as their aim truth. And they cooperate with the, they believe and they have good deeds, they practice good deeds, and they have as their aim truth, and they cooperate to encourage each other to be patient, persevering, patient. Or patient. Yes, those are four conditions. Now, in this passage that I read to you, it says, shall I turn you on to, or shall I show you point out to you a business deal, a commerce, whatever, that will save you from a punishing affliction? What was the first condition? Have faith. تؤمنون بالله. Have faith in Allah. Right? ورسوله and in his messenger. وتجاهدون and struggle. Fi sabilillah, in the path of God. Struggle in the path of God. Bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. Now, bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. Can you see the resemblance here to what we read in the Asr? There's a resemblance. Believe is the first condition. Believe in God and in His Messenger. Believe. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Then it says, after believe, it says tujahiduna. That's works, right? Work, struggle, strive. But not just any kind of striving. It has to be righteous striving. Amil salihat. Fi sabilillah, in the path of God. That's a righteous striving. So it's the same thing said in different words. وَتُجَاهَدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. With your possessions and with yourselves. With yourself. With your possessions. With your possessions are worldly things, right? With your possessions are the worldly things. You cannot be successful with the worldly things unless you follow what is truthful. You have to be definite. You have to be correct. Ain't no way to do mathematics halfway. You have to do it all the way. It's either correct or incorrect. There's no way to run a business. Gambling? Now, some of us believe that. We think we can go in business as gamblers. And all our disciplines are going to be the disciplines of a gambler. Well, I guess I'll start off, maybe I'll put $500, I'll buy $500 for good, and buy $1,000, $500 this, and I'll spend $1,000 on this, and then I'm going to sell these items. That ain't the way you do business. You have to first find a market, a source for what you want, a market for your supply. You have to identify a market. You have to know how much you can get out of that market, at least have a pretty accurate guess how much you're going to get. And you have to play it safe. Business is not a gamble. Business is something that demands accuracy. Accuracy. And truth is another way of saying accuracy. Accuracy, you see? So if you're not working for accuracy, forget about the material world. It ain't for you. If you don't appreciate working for accuracy, forget about the material world. Go up in the tree and swing in the sheet. What they call the thing, they tie one tree to another. Yeah, they call hammer. Just go somewhere nice and sunny and shaded and get you a tough sheet and tie it from one limb to another and make you a hammer and just shake up there in the tree. Just while swing in the tree or something. This world ain't for you. But if you appreciate the discipline of wanting to be accurate, you will be successful not only in business but in practically everything else. That's important. Try to be accurate. You know, a good drawer, and I think I can draw pretty well too, a good drawer strives for accuracy. A good fighter, and I think I used to fight pretty good too, strives for accuracy. Accuracy. A good computer operator, accuracy. A good anything, accuracy. A good march in the army, accuracy. Right? Accuracy. Accuracy is another way of saying truth. Now, if accuracy is a must in the world for success, truth is a must in your soul for success. Believe me, these two things are the same. Whatever is good for one is good for the other. Whatever makes for success in the world makes for success in the soul. Whatever makes for success in the human soul makes for success in the world. Yes. I heard a professor once say, he's an African-American professor, and he didn't know too much about real Islam, but he said something I never will forget. He said, Islam is not vain imagination or superstition. It's reality. Well, I can stand here today and say amen to what that professor told me when I was a boy in his class. No superstition, it's not vain imagination, it's not superstition. Islam is reality. We say God is reality, Allahu Haq, right? We say hellfire is not a superstition, it's not a myth. We say Narul Haq, the hellfire is reality. Yes. Let me see if I can. Now we come to the two. Strive in the. This is, you know, jihad is the word to jihadun that means make jihad. But this is the right way to understand jihad. That you strive in the path of God, doing righteous deeds. In the path of God, you shouldn't be doing wrong in the path of God. So if it's warring, the war is approved by God. Be immoralical with your possessions. Now, if you will practice this in your life, if you will give possessions your possessions and not hold, be stingy, invest. Don't be afraid to invest, but just know that what you are investing in is approved by Allah. And don't go out half-cocked. Give it a lot of thought. Study it. Study what you're going to invest in. Get all the information you can on it. Know what indicates to you that this particular move is going to be a successful move. In other words, be methodical, strive for accuracy. Don't be guessing no more than you absolutely have to or you're forced to. A businessman doesn't guess unless he's absolutely forced to. That's the last thing he wants to do is guess. I mean a real businessman. That's the last thing he wants to do is guess. A businessman doesn't gamble. That's the last thing he wants to do is gamble. When he puts his money on something, it ain't no gamble. He has to have figures. He got figures and statistics and et cetera. He got something real to support his decision. It is not an outright gamble. He just doesn't go and buy a tree and he doesn't know hell what the hell is the name of it. It might not be fit for construction. It might not be fit for anything. It might not need, if it burned it might poison and put poison in the atmosphere. He might buy something he can't even use at all. Might buy something he has to pay to get rid of. Say, well, you're going to have to pay so much to get rid of this. Say, this is a pollutant you have here. So he's not going to just buy something. No, he thinks it out very carefully. Sister, when you're running your house, don't you know you're running a business? When you're running your house or your apartment, you're running a business. Especially if you got children, and you got a husband, you got more than yourself, you're running a business. Even if you got nobody but yourself, you're running a business. A home is a business. In fact, everything we have in the world, a home is the first. You got health care outside the institution, doctors, medical, hospital. The first health care was in the home. Yes. The first health care center was the home. The first store to shop at was the home. Oh, yes. The first lab, the first science department was the home. Everything came out of the home. Everything. The first government was the home. First government. First governmental order was the home, a man's home. And a woman's home. King and queen, right? That was the first government. The first school was a home. The first bank was a home. First transportation center was a home. The cabs weren't at some local place, or buses weren't at some local place. The mule and the horse or whatever you rode on was at home. Everything started from home. So, sister, if you can run a home well, the society doesn't have to worry. We get enough mothers running these homes well, we don't have to worry about the state of society. The home gets the child, the human beings first. Right? Right. Okay. I remember one time we were trying to stop a leak. And we said, hell, the only thing we had to find out is where go back to the source of the water. So we went back to the source where the water was originating, and we found that leak. It was way away from where we thought it was. We thought it was in the front yard because the water had come up out of the ground in the front of the yard. It turned out the water was way back there at the source where the pipe come up, the source, the cutoff, it was just a little beyond that source way back there. Well, same thing with problems with youngsters in the street, or with society, with bad men that won't take care of their wives, and won't be fair to their families. If we can catch them at home, that's where it starts, isn't it? If we can catch them at home, we won't have a problem. It might take us, we make these die. Well, Moses waited. That's called calling the Bible, Christian. Moses waited for 40 years for the old people to die off. I don't think we had to wait that long. The way they live now, we just wait about 10 or 15 years. They all be dead. If you sisters can just get control at home, we can save society. But you have to have some business sense, sister. I don't care if it's the husband's money, or your money, or both your money, or the children's money, or the welfare money. I don't care what it is. Don't take that money lightly. Make yourself a good business person to handle the money of your family. Be a good business person. Don't just go shopping with your tongue. Man, I like that. Or with your nose. Oh, that smells good. Give me some of that. Or with your eye. That look pretty. Give me that. Shop with your knowledge of what your home budget can stand. You got so much money at home in that budget. You got so many dollars in that purse. Or so much money in the bank. You shop with a knowledge of how much that can stand. And you go out there and do justice by all your good concerns. And not just your gut. You don't just shop with your gut. You ain't shopping just for the stomach. You ain't shopping just for the clothes, the dress, the body. You got water bills. You got light bills. You got food bills. You got the rent. You got school costs, the cost of sending children to school if you got little children. You got all kind of costs. Well, you got to be aware of all the costs and everything. Don't you know? I see why the prophet says, paradise lies at the foot of the mother. If that woman managed that house properly, man, I'm telling you, if only God would stop me from making sense there at her feet. I know Allah ordered us not to make sense there for anyone but him, so that's the only thing will stop me. Sister, I'd be happy to make sense there at your feet, if God will allow it, if you manage your home in the way it should be managed. Because it means the salvation of society. And the thing we need, most as African Americans is good business sense. Good business sense. Don't you know you ain't doing nothing but helping your enemies when you go out there and just buy with no kind of discipline? You just buy it on impulse. Oh, I like that. I want that. Well, you got two of those at home. But I like this one. I'm going to get some chicken. Well, did you check the inventory? Did you check the refrigerator, the freezer, the compartment? Are you sure you don't have any chicken there? Can you vouch with your life that there's no chicken in your refrigerator or in your freezer? Well, if you can't, then you're risking your life spending my money on chicken now. Now, brother, I'm just joking. Believe me, that was a real joke there. Now, that sister come back with some more chicken, you just give her some more chicken. You be a chicken for her. Well, I tried the other way, it doesn't work. Good business sense. You can't have good discipline in the world if you don't have good disciplines internally. So forget about it. If you don't want to think right inside, if you don't want to feel right in your heart, if you don't want to obey that you think God wants of you, then forget about being right in the world. You can't. So the first thing we have to do is want the internal, the life within, to be right. Then we will show more respect for both, the life within and the life without. And we will have the proper disciplines we need. We will accept them as we come to know them. Be no problem. Now, I mentioned accuracy. I'm going to try to run this time is flying. I'm going to try to sum this up in a few minutes now. But before accuracy, we must have honesty. A dishonest person can't be accurate. Just like a dishonest person that can't be expected to be truthful. Don't ask him. You know him. He's dishonest, right? No, don't ask him, man. You'll never get it straight. So the first is honesty. Honesty. And I'm really translating faith as honesty. Because faith and honesty are related. You can't be faithful unless you're honest kind of a person. You have to be honest. You can't be a dishonest person and be faithful to anything. So I'm comparing, kind of translating, faith as honesty. Honesty. Yes, honesty. Honesty results in faithfulness, and honesty results also in good deeds. Is that not right? Yes, right. It is a word. It is a word that incorporates both the discipline or the position within, and also the actions expressed without. Honest person. And they used to have an old saying for business people of the West, honesty is the best policy. How many still remember that? Yeah, I remember as a boy, honesty is the best policy. What happened to that? Now, it says that surah for success, it says, watawasaw bilhaq, and cooperate for the advancement of truth. Watawasaw bilhaq. I'm translating that as accuracy. So we have some words now that we can apply in the world pretty well, right? Yes. Honesty means faithfulness and also good behavior, straight behavior, and accuracy for al-haq, and then bisabr. Now, what is bisabr? We call it patience, persevering. See, if patience is required of you, then it tests what? It tests your loyalty, doesn't it? Because after all, what are you waiting for? Right? You know, the big bully, the tough guy, you know, the girl is looking all tempting and exciting there, and she says, wait, darling. Now, Now, you know, something is checking here. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's holding back something, right? He's holding back something. It's difficult. He's holding back something. What is it? It's his loyalty to his own self-worth. He sees himself in his own eyes as being a man of a certain worth. And he knows if he just go there like a beast, that worth will be destroyed. So he's loyal to his own image of himself. She says, wait, darling. Not so fast. So he waits. He's a gentleman. He's a decent guy. He waits. Yeah, he's loyal. He's loyal to his value. He's loyal to his value. So without that loyalty, you can't be patient, you know? Now, if the dinner's served, and mama says, though, she ain't ready yet, you know, but you run there and you start eating. My mother, she puts something on you, buddy. You cannot eat at that table until she says, now, come and eat. She be doing things on that table. You go in and sit down there first and start picking off the table, sitting, man, you're in trouble. Yeah, so you're loyalty. The patience requires loyalty. And patience requires something else. Patience point to sacrifice. Sacrifice. What the loss of the self and cooperate for the establishment of perseverance, patience. So it points to sacrifice, because I have to sacrifice my appetite now and get it later. Right?
Yes, sir.
Or I have to sacrifice what I can get now and receive bad consequences to my conscience or whatever. Or I can wait, I can sacrifice this desire, this hunger, this appetite. I can sacrifice and get it later. Now, what is the real sacrifice that God wants? It's taqwa. See, we don't understand. We are sacrificing all the time. Sacrifice is a requirement in the nature of the human being. It's required of us that we sacrifice. We are no more savages throwing our children in the fire. Sacrificing our children for the pleas of God, some God that we imagine or guess that. No, we're not doing those savage things or those ignorant things anymore. But sacrifice is a requirement of the human nature. We have to sacrifice. And the real meaning of sacrifice is to deny what you want now because it's not proper for you to take it now, because it's unlawful for you to take it at any time until you can get what is lawful. Right? Deny yourself now until the proper time to get this that is lawful, or deny yourself because this is unlawful and wait until the lawful is available. That's sacrifice. See, killing yourself ain't no great sacrifice. Man, to hang around here hungry? I don't believe the man was guilty. But if Tyson had looked at that and sacrificed his appetite, man, that's much greater than dying and saying, shoot me in the head.
That's right.
Yeah, shoot me in the head is all over. That ain't no great sacrifice. But to stay right here and look at all this good stuff and not take it, man, that's sacrifice. That's real sacrifice. So God says that the real sacrifice that he accepts from us is our taqwa. Because anytime you obey him in the world, you're making the big sacrifice. And believe me, if we can accept all that I have discussed with you in this, well, it's a good time. You will be successful in business. Now, brothers and sisters, you who are in retail business, wholesale business, any kind of business, I hope you will leave from here and you'll be excited to get to work. Go to the work table, go to the business shop, go to whatever it is, to the service, what you got, to your service, whatever, go to it with a renewed enthusiasm to make more and more sacrifice and to be more accurate, to be more honest, be more persevering. Just read over what I've said today, and I guarantee you success. And I ask nothing for this seminar. As-salamu alaykum.
The Sensemaker presents Al Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W.D. Muhammad. This new book is must reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W. Dean Muhammad, The Sense Maker. Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.